Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jesse Billington, and we are back to preview this weekend's Monaco Grand Prix. When I say we, I mean it's actually still the Chuckle Brothers. I'm joined by none other than Mr. Timo Albus Daly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Mr. Chuckle Brother?
I'm doing very well. I've spent the day driving a MGA, which was very nice, and even better, a 1970s Maserati Quattroporte. Fantastic, proper mafia villain car. Power slides quite nicely, actually. I was quite pleased by that.
You say villain car in this case today, one of the goons.
Yes, very much a goon car. Anyway,
I'm surprised you made it to the podcast, because normally I'd say at this point, does that mean you're not coming on then? Because you'd have crashed off in some hilariously spectacular fashion to fit in with the rest of that image.
No, as a goon car, I did not crash and sort of endure the smallest collision in the car erupt into flames akin to a 1970s Bond flick. Instead, managed to get it power sliding nicely on a gravel road. We got all the photography we needed. That's coming out in 2 weeks' time in the other job I do, which is classic car journalism for Classic Car Weekly. So pick that up. But in the meantime, we've got important things to actually talk about, the world of F1, as we look ahead to the Monaco Grand Prix, and we'll take a quick look at some of the news that's come out since you and I only spoke on Monday evening, but we've not been devoid of news. And chief among which is Pat Simmons has signed with Andretti Cadillac, and this is big news. He'll start with the outfit once he's finishing his gardening leave, and since March 2017, he's been the chief technical officer for Formula One, and his role with the American outfit will be as executive engineering consultant. This is big.
This is hilarious, because we were talking about this when it broke, and I said, this is, if you can't get Adrian Newey, this is the next best thing in my book. And I was reading the BBC article that they wrote on it, and we approached F1 for comment, but they declined. Just tells you everything you need to know there, really. It's like, because it's bad enough if Adrian Newey went there, because it's kind of a team person going to another team that isn't there yet. But when you've got someone from the organization who's denying pretty much their existence at the moment, it's just like, we can't see them, they're not here. Then they go over. That is quite funny, because you kind of like, you really don't have anything to say to that. And Andretti's just continuing to go, we continue to work at pace. And like, thank you very much. That's all we need from you. Excellent stuff. And yeah, it's one of those kind of, he's not a young man, but this role of executive engineering consultant is perfect for someone at his point in his career, where it's basically just shimmying over and going, yeah, I can tell you that's right. That's wrong. It's going to change that. And he doesn't need to do much else. And they can trust him because he's Pat Simmons. Yeah. And he's going to know the regulations pretty darn well.
Yeah, as a guy that had a hand in writing some of them. Yes. I mean, yeah, I'd argue he's certainly up there with your Newey, with your Ross Brawn for sort of technical wizards.
That's the next one I'm waiting on, because Ross Brawn's obviously stepped away a little while ago. And like, you sure we can't tempt you, Mr. Brawn?
I mean, last I saw of Ross Brawn, I was speaking to him at the London to Brighton run last year on Brighton Seafront.
He's got time on his hands, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's enjoying some hobbies with some very, very old cars indeed. So he might want to get in touch with the new Formula One cars. We'll wait and see. But yeah, this is something I was speaking to.
I know this is me getting way ahead of things, but it would just be hilarious if they managed to do a 2009 with Andretti.
Oh.
Just go,
oh.
Hello.
Could you imagine?
And just at the last race of the season, just all the Andretti family come out and just go, are you not entertained?
Who would they have as a driver, though? Who would you want for them as a driver to do a Jenson Button 2009?
It'd be a really big fuck you if they got Colton Herter in to do that, because obviously they've been wanting him for ages. But then I think they should bring in someone from Formula 2 who's been left over for ages, who really deserves a spot. I'm thinking if you're very funny with Mick Schumacher, but I don't think that's going to happen. But someone like Liam Lawson,
just
double kind of fuck you to F1 and then to Red Bull. Like, you weren't using him, so
yeah.
We used him, and he is now a champion.
I think Callum Ilott. I know he's enjoying WEC and IndyCar at the moment. He's obviously, he's on the grid for 500,
Indy 500
this weekend. So he's
kind of thinking like him or, about him or Lundgaard or Chair as being the obvious kind of, or Drugovich, you know, these drivers where they really deserve a spot and other drivers are being looked at instead for whatever reason. And instead, this would just be the perfect way of, not only did we do very, very, very well in Bourg-Rock, we did it with drivers that deserved the shot, and you all decided that because of whatever value you're supposedly bringing to the sport, or as F1 as a whole bringing into it, you didn't want them because you thought you were fine. Now look what we've done with all of your leftovers.
I lot Herta at Andretti Cadillac, 2026 with, World Champions.
With either Flörsch and or Calderon as reserve drivers, just because on the off chance they can then get in an F1 race, and it's just that extra bit of oomph then. Because Flörsch's plan is to be in F2 next year. And if we put it like that, we've seen drivers do 1 year in F2. She can still do F2 duties for a second year and be a reserve driver. We've seen that happen many times. And Tatiana, she needs a bit of a break from the struggle she's been having with trying to get something consistently going. It'd be a great way to get her some more seat time.
Or alternatively, it's an American brand. Would they go for Jack Crawford or Juan Manuel Correa?
I was going more for the women, just for the sake of it would be an extra way to say fuck you to them. Dominicana, you said there's more chance of a meteor hitting the earth.
It would be nice to see them give that opportunity, but American brand, you look at the current F2 grid, I think Jack Crawford would be a pretty solid shout to have as your reserve driver.
Or just because I'm not being wild enough as it is, Lindsay Brew has a second year in Indy next year, and they just stick her in as an F1 reserve driver for that, and she just absolutely amazes.
Well, I mean, Jamie Chadwick, Williams haven't done anything with her since just sort of
punting her towards Indy next.
If you're going for an American one, Lindsay Brew is a good opt. So. Yeah, there's options. We'll wait and see what happens, but things are bubbling with Andretti. I was speaking to a friend of the podcast, Jacob, about this actually, and we mentioned it, we're talking about it on Twitter. I said, do you think Andretti Cadillac have been getting all these signatures on contracts, and their contracts state that there is a chance that you might not end up working on Formula One? You'll be put towards their WEC series or something. Like, okay, we've built up this team. F1 have turned us away. We've got all these people on payroll. Screw it. We've got some of the best minds and best engineers from motorsport. Why don't you make us an endurance racer? All right, go on then. Like, you might as well.
It's the sort of thing of like, yeah, you've signed a contract, you know that they're good for the money, and they're not going to just bail on you. This isn't a new team in a way that like Haas or someone was, where you're not sure if this falls through, do I still get paid?
Yeah.
You know that they're going to be able to, you couldn't do as much or as little work as you want at the end of the day, probably for most of them, and everyone else that just help along the way. And at the very least, it says that you did X, Y, and Z for Andretti, and then they'll give you a nice reference and off you go. You'll get in somewhere else.
Yeah, you've done that for Andretti Autosport Racing. That doesn't mean you've done it with Cadillac. That doesn't mean you've done it for their F1 branch. In the same way that sort of Red Bull have things done by Red Bull Technologies, it's a case of you've done it for a tertiary party that therefore means you work for whatever sort of sports league they point you towards. But it's interesting. It's a very interesting technical side of things. On a more sort of glamour side of things, McLaren will be running a proper one-off livery celebrating their King of Monaco, Ayrton Senna. Obviously, we're talking it's 30 years since his early and very sad demise. He was absolutely ruthless around Monaco with a McLaren, so it makes sense that they're sort of honouring this, and they've got a proper Bonza looking design as well. It looks good. It's a proper one-off livery.
I very much like the livery. What amuses me most, and I know that they're King of Monaco, but I just thought, would you not have done that at Imola? It feels like it would have been a bit more proper to do it there, because especially with just history of one-off liveries at Monaco for any team, doesn't really go that well generally. They had one good year, I think last year was it, when Lando was on the podium? When
they had the triple crown. They had the golf livery triple crown thing. Yeah.
But generally, whereas like last weekend, you could have got a win, you got a nice second place, then perfect for it.
All I will say is though that you're sort of doing that at the circuit where he died, but I suppose Seb also was driving around in his old McLaren. Yeah.
It just seemed amusing. It's like, we've got a new livery that we should have done there. But luckily, he was also excellent at Monaco, so we can do that. But regardless, it's a very nice-looking livery, and it's more proof that we need proper yellow back on the grid in some way, shape, or form.
It's a nice, bright, colourful design, and I'm looking forward to seeing that pacing its way around Monaco. That will be really good. time is running out for Carlos Sainz. We spoke about him in pretty much all of the previous podcasts because he is the one name that everyone's wondering what's happening with him when it comes contract-wise. And this really stems from me because Red Bull have reportedly offered Sergio Perez a one-year contract, though he's countered asking for two. And I will say, what gossip does that man have over the team or members thereof it? It must be immense if they're offering him another year's contract, a contract anyway. And they've been thirsting for Danny Ric so hard, yet won't move him up. And this is the team that used to swap drivers mid-season or even a few races in. And yet Perez is still there. Marco has been heaping praise onto Yuki recently. Liam will eventually get bored and disappear at the end of this year. I don't doubt it. There's only so many daft TikToks he can do before he actually needs a career and some money to keep visiting Disney World and doing a super build. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. It's a one-year contract. We'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, Mercedes have only offered Sainz a one-year contract too, and no surprises there. But equally, he's reportedly fallen off Toto Wolff's radar, so it's interesting to see what's...
I wonder how big Wolff's radar was in the first place, because he's basically gone Kimi Antonelli, and that's it. He's never really talked seriously about anyone else. Yeah,
as the scope oscillates.
Oh, maybe that's it. We could do something radical. I mean, like Jimmy Antonelli. I'm like, oh, yeah, a couple of saying, oh, who are you looking at? Like, oh, we could do a lot of things. We've got a lot of options. Like Jimmy Antonelli. I'm like, is there other people, not just your 17-year-old, but you're rushing through the feeder series for no apparent reason?
Susie Wolf wakes up in the night and all she can hear is Toto Wolf just muttering Kimi Antonelli in his sleep. And you're sort of like, that is an unhealthy obsession with a 17-year-old boy. Equally, Sainz has reportedly rejected approaches from Williams and Alpine, which, interesting.
I can understand Alpine, to be honest, because why the hell? You'd need a hell of a turnaround there. And yeah. I don't think that's where the Williams, I can see why, but
I
think it's because with Williams, it's another team where he'd be going there to build it up, and he's done enough of that.
Yeah, he's done that with Ferrari and sort of proven
he's done that with every team he's been in.
Like McLaren turned around while he was there. Renault got decent-ish while he was there. So only really Audi remains at this point. So he's going to have to start signing some papers
fast. I mean, Sainz and Hülkenberg would be pretty fun as a lineup if he did go there.
That used to be the old Renault lineup, didn't it? So we're getting the band back together. So
one other bit of news before we get onto the I'm not even sure that is news, the last bit, but it's fun anyway, is that there's been some rumour and speculation coming out, which I know we don't normally talk about, but it's just interesting to throw that into the conversation when we look at behind-the-scenes personnel, of apparently last weekend, Mattia Binotto was seen having some interesting conversations with Lawrence Stroll.
Yes, I did see he was at the Grand Prix. I didn't know he'd been having conversations with people.
If you're Mike Track, you're a bit worried, perhaps.
Maybe. Unless,
because I don't know what other role you would bring Mattia in as.
Unless you wind back the clock to when he used to be power unit engineer at Ferrari in the winning Schumacher days. You bring him back in
it's
and
a put
him
reliance back into, on old experience, but yeah.
No, you bring him back in, you put him into a role that you know he was good at and the team worked well when he was in that position.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying it was a long time ago that he was in that role.
It was a long time ago, but also, have you considered they're taking on new power units soon? And obviously, they've got a team that is relatively used to dealing with Mercedes units. You might as well bring in a bit of sort of broad thinking scope from Ferrari just to bring in some fresh ideas.
And Mattia's used to being beaten by five Mercedes power units. Like, this is how you did this. You clever buggers.
Here's how we made that slightly illegal engine. So if we combine the two, add a dash of legality, bada bing, bada boom, we've got a very interesting engine we can develop with Honda. But yeah, it's...
Impeccable impression.
That's my perfect Mattia Binotto impression. Anyway, moving on from that, we ought to sort of make notice that, of course, this weekend is Indy 500 and Coca-Cola 600, NASCAR as well, isn't it?
There's so much. If we go through, you've got Formula 1, Formula 2, Formula 3 at Monaco, you've got the Indy 500, you've got NASCAR, the Xfinity Series, the Crafton Truck Series, you've got Formula E doubleheader in Beijing, and then that before we even get to like the regional.
Fracker is going on this weekend. Yeah. So I know Dorian Pan's racing in that somewhere.
And all that kind of jazz. That's going on all over the place. So essentially, I'm not going to sleep this weekend.
Yeah, it's a busy weekend, and I might finally have an engine to put into my MG. So very busy weekend indeed.
Not that you'll have time. Because you'll be too busy watching all of this.
Yeah, that's going to be a bank holiday Monday job, I think. But anyway, Indy 500 coming up. Obviously, famous celebrations at the Brickyard. is you drink your milk. So, Timo, I wanted to ask you, what is your milk choice? Should you win the Indy 500, what would you be choosing from the Indiana Dairy Association?
Fully and go for like full fat. Go for just like I've won the Indy 500. I don't give a shit if I'm going to be rolling around the whole of the circuit just on my belly after I've drunk all of this. I'm going to celebrate in style.
Yeah, I too would do the same, though I would like to find out if there's a way of sequestering like a small packet of Nesquik somewhere upon my person so I can have chalky milk when I'm on the podium. Because I think that just, because every year someone always writes on their milk selection form chocolate and they always get denied. They always just sort of get whole. You've got three choices. It's whole, skim, and
pull it out of your race suit.
Yeah. Just sort of scooping it. I'm driving in a bright yellow Indy car with the Nesquik logo on the side would be, probably has been done actually, but I think it'd be great if you were then allowed to have your Nesquik on the podium.
But the only other thing I'll say on this is that obviously with this happening this weekend, we've got some great social media content of drivers milking a cow.
All the rookies in the circuit. Milk a cow in the paddock.
Yes. And I just think, is it too risque to suggest as part of this that I would just have, I mean, again, no animal cruelty. You'd make sure the cow was nice and comfortable, but prop the cow up and you just have someone squeeze the udders and just spray the milk all over you in celebration.
So instead of on the podium, risque? I think that's too risque. That's almost verging on the strangely.
The cow doesn't have to wear anything.
And that's somehow better.
Less worse.
Yeah, I think less worse is the only way to describe the scene you've just painted on the IndyCar podium where someone is literally fire hosing you down straight from the cow's teat. At least
I'm going to see if we can get that on the graphics for my IndyCar podcast, because that would be quite something.
It's the sort of thing you could also see on a t-shirt, and I hate that I've said that, because if there's someone who listens to this podcast that can graphic design that, please make that into a t-shirt, because we've never made merch before, but it would be a hilarious that is how we start making merch. Is just we a cow just sort of full on Family Guy shotgunning someone on the podium. We've got a very badly sidetracked.
There was also the thought when I saw the rookies milking the cow was that scene from Ice Age.
I haven't seen Ice Age in ages.
I don't know which one it is. It's not the first one, but I think Sid's teaching some of the young kids where to get like collect berries and what kind of natural food stuff from. And he goes, I'm going to go and milk this cow. And it's not a cow.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just seen running off in the distance.
I can't believe how many adult jokes they used to be able to get into children's films, man. They used to make proper films.
I can't watch Shrek 2 the same way, but we should get back to Monaco.
Anyway, yeah, Indy 500, you'd have whole milk. I think I'd go for whole milk as well, I think, given the three options. I did put out a poll on Twitter. Only two people responded. Those two people would also have whole milk. So I think we can say, as a consensus, listeners of this podcast and hosts would have whole milk. If you could have any drink standing on the winner's podium of a race, what would you have though? Like the champagne, iconic, rose water, sucks. Milk, interesting. What would you go for?
It depends, because in this instance, I suppose we're assuming that this win that we have had is going to be our one and only win.
Ooh.
Because otherwise I'd be like, well, I'll do that for this country, I'll do that for this country. But if it's like the Indy 500, that's what I'm saying. I'll go all out with it and just spray me. Whereas if I'm winning all the time, then who cares as much? But if it's just one, you'd have to really think about it. I don't know. That's maybe something for the review.
We'll wait and think about it. I was only thinking about this because there was a great clip of it was like a Labour MP or Labour politician in the 90s. And was it John Prescott? I think it was John Prescott. There is an incredible shot of him out on the election circuit smashing back a pint in sub 5 seconds.
Yes.
And I think for something like the British Grand Prix, stood up there with a proper pint of like a really strong British ale and just putting it back in 5 seconds and then sort of doing the full pint on the head. Just
before
you'd
even start, you'd get the crowd to go.
You'd have to have the drink song of so much. Like to drink with Jesse.
Yeah. I think you wouldn't have that long. You just get it down. You straight away.
Yeah, I think doing that or doing a boat race on the podium as you all swig from like the Nebuchadnezzar of champagne they give you, and you've got to wait for the guy ahead of you to finish before you start on yours. I think that would that would bring an unholy level of student anarchism to the usually refined podium celebrations of motorsport.
Well, with how young the drivers are getting, we might get that at some point.
I'm waiting for the day Lando Norris does that. I would be the Kimi Raikkonen that just simply chugs the champagne. Like, but it's never cold either. Anyway, we've gotten completely sidetracked. Monaco predictions and pole position. We've all gone different. Ellie May's not here this evening, but she's gone for Charles Leclerc. She thinks it's going to be another pole at home for the Monegasque.
It's the most hilarious graphic I saw on motorsport.com's social media. It's like, how do you think he's going to do? And they've listed like his part, all of his past performances, like DNF, DNF, DNS, and then just like he, whatever. And then, hey, he actually finished this one. It's like, I don't like his chances.
Yeah, it's not looking good for him. Maybe this year will change. Your pole position then?
Oscar, gosh darn, Piastri. I mean, he's a little bit Monegasque. He's a little bit Finnish as well, so it ties back nicely. And I reckon it's got to be third time lucky now, at least.
He's only a little bit Monegasque because Charles Leclerc on Twitter said he'd adopt him.
It counts.
Yeah, it does. It does mean he's now sort of got a half-brother in Ollie Bearman. It really depends on how much of the weird Twitter discourse you follow around that. But
see how bored we get and make a family tree at some point.
Oh, it has been done. Trust me, I've seen some sides of Twitter that are incredibly strange. Meanwhile, I've gone for Lando Norris on pole. I just have a suspicion we could see something exciting. He seems to be on form. He's got confidence. And Monaco is a confident circuit. You've got to have the bit between your teeth to really send it around there. And Norris is high on confidence at the moment. And he's got the ability to back it up and a car that he can back it up with as well. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does.
It's either, I feel like Norris in these circumstances, the last time being in this kind of a situation with 2021, those string of races was either excellent or terrible. And so is this going to be kind of a Monza on the podium moment, or is this a Spa qualifying moment of oops?
We'll wait and see on that
one. For you, you're hoping the former rather than the latter.
Yeah, I'm hoping very much for the excellence. Podium, Ellie May, Norris, Piastri, Verstappen. Interesting.
Excellent confidence in her Charles Leclerc pole.
Yep. She's been looking at the statistics. That's what it suggests.
Yeah, you haven't. You put them in P2.
I haven't, no. But again, it's Crown Prince of Monaco, but never the king. So I've gone for Lando Norris in first, Charles Leclerc second, George Russell in third. I'm seeing something a bit interesting happening. We saw Esteban Ocon in third last year. I say we see another tractor on the podium, and why not? George Russell, podium at Monaco. It'd be interesting to see. And
it's a fun parallel with our two predictions there, because I've put Hamilton on the podium in second place. I just thought, if you can, I mean, we know Monaco, it's even with the craziness, you can still have everything done in qualifying if you do it good enough. And we know Hamilton can pull out a lap out of nowhere, like Hungary last year, I think it was, for example, and just kind of be amazing with it. So I think if Piastri's leading from start to finish and there's a bit of craziness behind, but then qualifying comes into play a bit, then Hamilton gets second. And just because, who wouldn't love this, especially at Monaco? Daniel Ricciardo. Wouldn't that just be fun?
It would be great to see him on the podium.
At a venue he has been riding well at in the past.
This is true. There is a lot leading up to him getting on that podium. Fastest lap. Ellie May's gone for Perez, which is, it makes sense. Red Bull's quick. He's good on the street circuit. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Timo, Sainz, Carlos Sainz until it happens.
Well, as I keep telling you, Jesse, on and off the podcast, Monaco is indeed the place that I've been predicting for the last 8 months that he will get fastest lap in every other race between when I first started telling you that it was going to be Monaco, and Monaco was just a build-up.
I see what you've done here is every time you've written out Carlos Sainz in your fastest lap prediction, you've changed the font to white and then written at Monaco. So I haven't actually been seeing that you've been saying at Monaco. I just keep seeing that you keep writing Carlos Sainz because black font on white background. Then, of course, in white, I hadn't noticed it says next to it.
I've been waiting for your detective skills and they've been sorely lacking.
They've been lacking and I apologise, but I see what you've done. It makes sense. It could happen at Monaco. Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. Meanwhile,
it happens now. This is going to age brilliantly.
Yeah. meanwhile, I've gone for Nico Hülkenberg. We've seen some absolutely bonza laps from the guy in the past couple of qualifying sessions. It just could be one of those daft things.
It also would surprise me that if he does that near the end of the race, he gets the fastest lap carries too much speed into turn one and then just BNFs.
Yeah, or he does it, but sort of outbreaks himself going to turn one and ends up dropping to P11 or something.
Just to annoy Ellie May.
Yeah, it'll be something like that. So he'll sort of fall outside the points, taking with him the fastest lap. But yeah, there'll be something along those lines that goes wrong for him. That leads us into our wild predictions as we start to speculate things. Ellie May has gone for Nico Hülkenberg gets a podium because, he's long overdue and Monaco would be a really nice place.
It's arguably the most realistic wild prediction of the three.
Weirdly. Ooh, yeah.
Which is saying something. I don't know if that's good or not.
Because I've gone for neither Red Bull in the points, which tallies with the rest of my predictions to an extent. And then you've gone for, I don't know if it's wild or if it's just ambitiously hopeful.
Yeah, I've decided to adopt Ferrari's strategy of hope and just go for Lance Stroll announces he will retire from Formula One at the end of the season. And then that makes that a bit more fun for everyone.
I hadn't even seen that prediction before I sent you the meme earlier as well, so it was quite well timed.
I did wonder.
Yeah, I hadn't even seen that yet. And then I was like,
maybe Lawrence does know what he's doing after all.
So that's some fun things. Certainly some wild predictions there, which brings us neatly to the end of a very short sort of preview podcast.
Which did involve some Monaco, at least.
Did involve some Monaco. You also managed to make it involve cows spraying people with milk. Formula 2 and Formula 3 are there this weekend, which could be interesting. Hopefully the stewarding is better than it was last weekend, which was, to say, dire. In the meantime, Timo, why don't you tell us where people can find you? I'm going to find somewhere interesting that people listen to this podcast.
Well, this week you can find me all over the place, but mainly go to Is It Fast, where I have a new piece out on the wonderful team over in Canada that is Slate Racing. They're revolutionising motorsport over there, and you should all go and check them out and support them because what they're doing is going to be quite something, and both in the short, medium, and long term. So if you don't know them, go and find out about them. Slate Racing.
Excellent. And in the meantime, as I sort of mentioned at the start of the podcast, you can find me writing for Classic Car Weekly. There's some interesting bits coming out in there over the next few weeks. New issues out every Wednesday. You can also find me on social media where I'm at Jesse on Cars on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I haven't posted on TikTok in ages. And of course, a thank you goes out to our listeners in Malaysia, specifically those of you in Cebu. I genuinely don't know a damn thing about...
It's in Malaysia.
It's in Malaysia, in the Sarawak region. That is about...
Two things.
Yeah. Surely there must be some interesting facts about it. I don't really know a lot about Malaysia. Yeah.
It's humid.
There we go. Thank you to our listeners in Malaysia. We appreciate you. I'm sorry that you...
Would you like a cow t-shirt?
Maybe they would. I don't know. I don't know fashion trends in Malaysia. If you would like a cow t-shirt, let us know if you're listening in the YouTube comments or find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know if you want a cow t-shirt of Timo's idea of a cow sort of fully pumping one out over the Indy 500 winner.
It was either that or the drivers were doing...
Doing the pumping. The pumping I over think the cow doing it itself is somehow a
because the cow's
concept.
Got hooves, so it's impractical.
But you, it's sort of...
I'm not being silly about this, Jesse. I'm taking it seriously.
Yeah. We should be taking that concept incredibly seriously. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy this weekend's Festival of Speed, quite literally, with however many billions of races are happening around the world. And we will see you or be speaking into your ears again on Tuesday, once we've recorded our review of the Monaco Grand Prix.